that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. So Jesus is talking about a spiritual birth. He said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. See, God know how to say things to arrest people's attention. I do it. I do it too, prompted by the Holy Spirit. Just like the other video, the other audio I did, I said, when people go and get their butt kicked by the world, and they were taught by the word of God, but they went out and played with the world and got their butt kicked. Now they come back because they have a reference. Which one is better? That's what, see, you know, Jesus said something in a way that arrested his attention. He said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. We don't know where the wind came from, and we don't know where it's headed. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Remember in Hosea, he said that would be like priests, like people. Well, here it is. He was raised by people that didn't understand. They should have been the masters of Israel and knew who Jesus was when he came, when they did, some of them. And they should have been on board with him, learning from him, like Nicodemus is doing now. Nicodemus saw greater. He's got a lot in common with Pharisee Saul. He saw more light, and he came to inquire of it. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, Jesus is talking, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And they had a reference for this because Isaac laid his life down under the command of Abraham, his father, under the command of God, who told him to sacrifice his son. And when he drew back the dagger, the angel stopped him. They know the story. And he made a covenant that God would give his only begotten son. Why they overlooked that in the scriptures, I don't know. But they were like people, like priests. They didn't understand. They didn't see the mystery of what God was doing. But I'm going to read verse 16 again. This is one of the most popular scriptures in the Word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He's talking about the people that's of the world. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. See, people are already judged because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. This is where I was trying to get to. See, whoredom wine and new wine take away the heart. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are worked in God. He that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. See, people that want to live according to God's word, But they've been introduced to the world first. They're doing worldly stuff because that's their culture. Then when the light comes, they want the light. And they reject the darkness. The darkness, it gave them pain. And they realize it. But people that love darkness, they can't tell that darkness is giving them pain. The enemy blames their demise on God. And they're still baited with the world. Because darkness hates light. Light hates darkness. And we need to hate darkness. John told us to hate, to love not the world, which means to hate the world system. Not the people, but the system of it. Because the system is death. Now, there's a lot of understanding right here that's given. Pouring wine and new wine takes away the heart. You're not going to be the same person you are now. If you don't drive out the darkness, and lately I've been teaching people that to hate the world system, it's just like that CD player. It's got the trashy music. Don't just turn it off. If it's of Satan, eject it, reject it, bust it into pieces and throw it away. That's how you reject the words of Satan, the desires of Satan, the actions of Satan. Now, Jude told us to do the same thing, and it's kind of interesting the way he put it. And I'll just read Jude. Let's see how much time we got. I'm way out of time. Well, we'll look at this one on the next. Well, this is going to be a two-part, so it don't matter. It's too good to just let it go. This is Jude. Jude only has one chapter. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering vengeance of eternal fire. They didn't repent. They wouldn't repent. They had a chance to repent. And they hated the thought of repenting. The day before they were destroyed, they tried to rape the angels. And the angels protected Lot and his family and drove them out. And then they the next day, they led Lot and his family out of Sodom and burnt the whole place up with Gomorrah. Okay, verse 8. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Now, I'm talking about the good people. Speak evil of dignities, not worldly politicians, but godly leadership. Yet, just like the parents, teachers, pastors, and leaders I was talking about earlier, they speak evil of them. That's what the world system does. Yet, Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. You know, Michael was under the order of Lucifer, I guess. But he didn't take it personally what Lucifer was doing. He said, the Lord rebuke you. And he contended for the faith. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts. In those things, they corrupt themselves. Now, you know, when I deal with dealing with Satan, I don't like him. He's not an angel. He's an enemy. I don't know him as an angel at all. But he was once an angel, and I understand that. I only know him as my enemy, the man that wants me dead. I don't like him. He don't like me. He tried to kill me, and I tried to kill him. That's our relationship. I said, Satan, I'm going to kill you. I can't kill him personally. I can't take a gun and shoot him, and he's over with. But I can represent Jesus to everybody I know. I can do all that's in God's heart. And this works against Satan. I can restrict him. I can expose him. And that's all I intend to do with him. I don't like him. I'm sure if he would have stayed an angel, I'd love him. But I don't like him. He's my enemy, and that's all I can treat him as. He's dangerous. So I had to become dangerous. I'm dangerous in the Lord. And the Lord is dangerous. I'm dangerous against Satan. I hate his ways. You can't win against Satan if you agree with him somewhere. You have to become his enemy and not his friend. You can't fight him if you're his friend, and you can't win against him if you think like him, or if you don't drive out whatever whatever deception he's given. You got to get rid of it, and you start with what you know, and you end with what you don't. The Lord will help you do it. The reason I say I will do all that's in God's heart, I'm preparing to receive whatever God say so I can be on point with God. And the reason I say I hate everything that's just like Satan, it's got to go. It's got to leave my life. It's just like me talking about that CD and the evil CD in my CD player. I don't just turn it off. I don't leave a residue of evil in my heart or in my mind or in my body. I eject it. I smash it up so it can never be used against me again to deceive me or trap me or ensnare me, and I throw it away. Everything that I find in me, see, Jesus said if you're bearing fruit, he'll purge you that you'll bear more fruit. I'm asking Jesus to purge me of everything that's not like him. Help me hate it. I do all of these things I do. I don't do it in my strength. I do it in God's strength. I fill my heart with the word and agree with it. And I ask the Lord to help me hate everything that's like Satan. I say it with my mouth. See, if you say it with your mouth, it's done. You've involved God. You've got his strength behind you, backing you up. You don't have to use your strength. And a lot of people are trying not to sin with their strength, and they fail because they only use their strength. But that you succeed when you use God's strength, when you do things in his word. You have to say it by faith. The just shall live by his faith. He said, woe to them that are, for they are gone in the, I'm continuing verse 11. Woe to them, talking about verse 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam. For reward, it perished in the gainsaying of Kore. You know, if you go in the way of Cain, the lust of the lust of the flesh. You're doing things. You know, Cain had jealousy against Abel. There's no reason for that. If God does something more spectacular in somebody else's life, if you're in God's house. And God raised them up to do whatever they're doing. Whatever they're doing is going to benefit you. You don't have to be jealous against your brother because he's more spectacular somewhere. In fact, he's supposed to be. But you can use the knowledge that he gives you, and you can be spectacular in your lane and help somebody else be more spectacular than you. But when you have to be the one in charge, the best, you got a satanic problem. If you got to be the best everywhere you go, you got a satanic problem. That's pride. You got to get rid of it, or it's going to cost you everything. Then he says, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam. Greed. Balaam was doing pretty good at first until he got greedy. And he taught Balak how to curse Israel. And then perish in the gainsaying of Korah, an insurrection. You don't ever want to be an insurrector against God. Nevertheless, this is what becomes of people who play with the world, who don't drive out the dark. Now, they may be receiving light. So people who are double-hearted, they're more confusing. So they're more dangerous than people that are just outright wicked. Because they're more subtle. They can a lukewarm Christian can get satanic rituals in the church faster than a wicked man, because he come in with partial knowledge of God, and then I've watched this so long. Some men, they get in pride, or they seem to have pride in their heart. To the point that they obey pride more than God. When God tells them to do this or do something that's not going to promote their pride demon, then they don't do that. But everything they do is to look good before men. Well, upcoming people, just like I just read, Nicodemus had to come to Jesus by night because he didn't want ridicule, but he wanted his questions answered. Why did he come to him in the daytime? Because the people that he was surrounded by, they were not like him. They had an evil disposition against Jesus. And he had fellowship with them. He had to sneak and go talk to Jesus. Now, why did he feel like he had to sneak to go talk to Jesus? In the church world, people do the same thing. He had a heart for God when he saw more light. He wanted to know. He came to the light because he had a desire for truth. But see, he was around people that was full of darkness, that wanted to murder Jesus. And when people don't know better, these things happen. And it take a long time for them to figure out that, hey, this church is not a church. It's a coven of witches. Because when people get in pride, they get in fear. When they act on pride, they become witchy. And they start an insurrection against God, but it's so vague you wouldn't know it. That's why people have such a hard time. They're so reluctant to obey God. Because of leadership and what they've been around. You have to break through it. That's why he's writing this. This is not an isolated problem. This is a huge problem. This problem was happening when James wrote this, and it's now it's gone to seed. You got a lot of scorpions out there. I'm gonna read it again. This is very important. These are people who love the world. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Every denomination, not just the ones that people, not just the denominational churches, but Pentecostal holiness churches, word churches, everybody has been plagued with this problem. Because the enemy wants to shut it down. People go to school, they become pastors, preachers, teachers, and they don't deal with everything. And the enemy will work through whatever residue he can work with. A lot of people left the CD in their player, and sometimes they listen to it. And sometimes they repent and listen to God, they turn it off, but they don't eject it, bust it in pieces and throw it away. That's what you have to do if you're going to proceed forward and build God's way. See, if you don't build with God, you scatter. You have to find places. The Lord revealed to me things in darkness that I didn't even know about. That's why I said everything that's light, Satan's got to go. So I can be in full cooperation when the Lord exposes it to me. Now, see, it don't just happen because I say it. Saying it prepares me to hate it. And I hate it more and more every time I say it. When I see something on TV that's worldly, no matter what it is, I'll change the channel. to let commercial go. The commercials are worse than the shows now. And I watch the HGTV channel more than anything, because they just building houses. I like watching TV, and I like a good story, but I hate garbage. So when they put garbage on that, they have a lesbian couple or a homosexual couple, I change the channel on that too. Because I don't want to see garbage. People are throwing their life in the trash because of the world, because of deception. And because of that, this is where it sprouts up. For these are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Every wind of doctrine. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. People who love the world can't bear fruit, and their fruit is rotten. That's how you know they're false prophets and teachers. Then it says, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now watch this. And Enoch also, seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. This is the way of the false teacher and false prophet. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. Now, he's shifting gears here, verse 20. But you, beloved, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's where we live, praying in the Holy Ghost. See, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you build up your most holy faith. You're praying for what you need the most. Your spirit, the Holy Spirit, is helping your spirit pray and alert you to what you need to be alerted to, so that you can deal with what you need to deal with, and, or help other people where they need help. And of some having compassion, verse 22, making a difference, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Now watch this. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And that's why I turn to Jude, because of verse 23. Others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire of hell, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. In other words, anything, any sin, and anything that remind you of the sin, hate it. And that's possible to do, because that's how I live. I say, Lord, I don't want to just not sin. I want to hate it. I want to hate it. Verse 24. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Sometimes people may feel like, I can't hate that. I can't see myself hating it. Well, guess what? When you include God, he's going to help you. You're not just hating sin. You're receiving life. You're loving God. And it gives you, as you love God, you automatically begin to hate the world. When I got saved, and I wanted out of the world completely, I didn't like it. Now, I didn't know what I know now. So when I repented, I would just turn my CD player off. But I didn't eject the CD and break it up. I'm just using that for an example of what I did in my heart. I turned it off. That was my style of repenting, because that's what people did around me. I came up with that much later in life. But in the early days, I read the word. I said, Lord, I don't want to ever do you wrong. I want to do right by you. How do I do it? And he taught me to love people, and you can't lust after them. He taught me to love people, and see, and he taught me how to love his people, and I and how to see. God's love has resurrection power, not just to bring a man back from the dead, but bring a dead man to life. I'm talking about a man that's still breathing. Love can help help you help others. If you love a person, you can relate to them better, and you can resurrect what is dying in their life. The talents, when I see talents in people, I talk about it. I say, hey, you're good at that. You need, you know, this is a good idea for you to explore that because you're good at that. I encourage people. Loving words help people make decisions. Miss Samuel saw how I was cutting a piece of wood straight, and she bragged on me, and I started paying more attention to my skill. I didn't know I was cutting wood like that. I was just cutting a piece of wood with a saw. She said, look how straight he's doing it. I was gifted to do that. But her encouragement helped. So when you encourage others in the love of God, you help them come to life. The love of God has resurrection power. And all the words of Satan has destructive, suppressing power, which is deception against you. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mighty move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our wonderful Lord.